is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine.
I told Satan, get thee behind. Joy today is mine. Joy tonight. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Joy peace is mine. Peace today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Peace today is mine. Love is mine. Love is mine. Love today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Love today is mine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. How many know sometimes you got to remember and you got to claim what's yours? Amen. Amen. Because the devil comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your joy, steal your peace, steal your love, steal your mind, steal your life. Amen. Amen. But he can only do it if you let him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because he's already defeated. Amen. By the blood of Jesus Christ. He's already defeated. He's a defeated foe. Amen. He's the father of all lies. It's not in him to tell the truth. He has no truth in him. Amen. But yet we listen to him sometimes, don't we? Amen. I tell you all the time, in this natural life, when we deal, we all know people that tend to lie a lot. Amen. Seems like they're always embellishing. They're always lying. They always come around to you telling you stories. And after a while, you get to know that person. You say, you don't put much stock in what they have to say because they're lying all the time, right? So if we can do that in the natural, why can't we do that in the spiritual? I mean, think about it. He's never told you the truth. Always led you down the wrong path. Always made things worse than they really were. Causing you to lose sleep, peace, joy. Amen. He's always lying to you. Come on. Use your common sense like you know, use your spiritual sense like you use your common sense. Amen. If you know enough not to believe somebody in the natural that lies to you all the time, then you ought to know that the enemy is always lying to you. Amen? Amen. We give honor to God and to all that honor is due. We respect all of you in your respective places. We thank God for all of you. We thank God for the singers and for all of you in your respective places. We just thank God for this church, this opportunity to come into God's house and just give him praise and just give him our cares and give him our worries and give him our prayers and spend time with each other and hug each other and say hello and God bless you and it's good to see you. It's just a blessing, amen, to come into God's house. Amen. Never take for granted the opportunity to come into God's house. Because there's a lot in here. There's healing in the house. There's deliverance in the house. There's joy in the house. There's love in the house. There's peace in the house. Amen. Because Jesus is in the house. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for all of you. We thank God for being saved today. And on the Lord's side, we just thank God for the journey. We just thank God for where we are at. Amen. I want to touch on a very familiar story that most people have heard, saved or unsaved at this point, about Christ feeding the 5,000. It's in, well, I'm in John, the 6th chapter. St. John. Amen. It's referenced in Matthew and Mark and Luke, but in John 6, we're just going to read a little bit because the Lord kind of like gave me a nugget this week. Amen. And I just want to share the nugget with you and hopefully that as you leave here today that you'll just ponder on what it is that the Lord showed me and that I think would help all of us. Amen. But when we look at this version of Christ feeding the 5,000, it said, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad over here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over. These were the leftovers. Amen. Filled 5. They didn't think they had enough to feed their people originally, and now they got 12 baskets of leftovers. Amen? So these are the leftovers, the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them. That this is of a truth that profit should come into the world. Amen? So when we, later in the chapter, he walks on water. He proclaims that I am the bread of life. Amen. But what I want to share with you today is whatever situation it is, whatever is in front of you, whenever it starts out with you, you'll always end up in scarcity. You'll always end up unfulfilled, and you'll always end up thinking that it's not enough. Whenever it starts with you. Let that sink in for a second. You know, we talked recently about the effect that sin has on the world and how it's, you know, it's probably been a month ago now, I preached about what happened in the Garden of Eden and how sin came in the world and how it affects our relationship with God right now. And what also came from that beginning was something that plagues every one of us still today. And that is the notion that we don't have enough. And that's what God shared with me this week and what I want you to take with you today to think about. Because to this day, we are plagued by the notion that we don't have enough. I mean, think about it. From the very beginning, God gave them everything that they needed. They were in that garden. They were made to live forever. They had it all. They were in need of nothing. Amen? That's why you keep the cap on the bottle. They were in need of nothing, right? They had everything that they wanted. Yet, it wasn't enough, right? They just had to see what it was about that tree, because, you know, they had everything they needed. They were in need of nothing. But it wasn't enough. They had to see what if they wanted more. Amen? And we learned this from a very young age. My son, my oldest son, I'll never forget, it was really cute, funny, and everything, but it tells you something. When he was little, he heard me say to people, you know, people would say to me, "Hey, Nick, you know, can Nicholas have some juice?" And I'd say, "Yeah, he can have some. Just don't put too much in there." Amen. He heard me say that so much that what he gathered from that was, he used to go to people and he'd say, "You know, can you give me some? Put too much in there," he said. He always said, "Put too much in there." Because he heard me say so often, he'd say, put too much in there. So from a very young age, we get in our system, in our thought process, that we don't have enough. Amen? I mean, think about it. The story of the prodigal son, right? He's the son of a king. He's on top of the mountain in the biggest mansion. Don't have to work, don't have to do nothing. He just has to enjoy what he has. But it wasn't enough. He had everything. He had everything that he could possibly need. But it wasn't enough. He had to go out into the world and see for himself what he was missing out on. Amen? Think about the story with the wedding and the wine. They thought they ran out. They thought they didn't have enough. They started to go nuts because they didn't have enough. Right? We think about this story here. And Jesus looked up. He saw the multitude, and his disciples also saw the multitude. And the first thing that popped up in the disciples' mind is, "We don't have enough." Amen? And guess what? When it starts with you and you're thinking about what you can do and what you're able and what you don't have enough. Amen? You don't. That's why it can't start with you. You hear me say all the time, seek God early in the situation. Early at the beginning, when you first come across what it is that's in front of you, whatever the challenge may be, whatever the problem may be, whatever it is that you're dealing with, seek Him early in the situation, because if you start out with... I mean, think about it. You remember when the Lord told Moses, "Send spies out into the land that I'm going to give you to see what's out there." Go, you know, he wanted them to go see ahead of time what it is that I'm going to give you. And what was the report they came back with? "Oh, yeah, there's milk and honey. There's milk and honey flowing there, but we can't take that land." Why is that? Because there's giants over there. There's too many of them. There's way more than them than there is with us. So they're starting with themselves thinking, "We're not able to defeat everything that we see over there." Guess what? You start out with you, it's not enough. Amen? And you know, if the devil was to have a yard sale and he was to lay out all his tools and put price tags on them and have a yard sale on all his tools, he'd have a tool called discouragement that would probably be the highest priced tool that he has out in the yard. The feeling of not enough. Think about it. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not skinny enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have what they have. You compare yourself to others and you say to yourself, I don't have enough, or I'm not enough. Amen? And when you start thinking along those lines, discouragement sets in, which leads to depression. Amen? And as long as you're depressed, you ain't helping nobody, including yourself. So the devil's got you right where he wants you. When the Lord wants you up and going and living and smiling and encouraging and helping somebody else while he's taking care of your stuff. But we get slowed down, we get stopped, we get in our mess because of our not enough mentality. I'm not good enough. We allow others to tell us what we're worth. We allow boyfriends and girlfriends to tell us how pretty or not pretty or good look. We allow others to tell us how good we are at something. We allow bosses to tell us what. We allow other people to put worth on us when we, of God, I know what I'm worth. I'm a king's kid. I'm an heir to the throne. Amen? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things, not by my strength, but by his strength. Amen? That's what I'm worth. But we grow up with this mentality that we don't have enough. We have a car, but we want a better one. We have a house, but we want a bigger one. We have a job, but we want to make more money. Amen? We have a little bit, but we want more. We're never satisfied. And I'm telling you, that's a trick of the enemy to keep you never satisfied. And then you'll justify it and say, well, it's not good to be satisfied, because if I'm satisfied, I'm complacent. There's a difference between complacent and contentment. You see, the world will tell you never be satisfied. Always strive for more. Always go for more. Always keep going. And that's, you know what? That's like saying, live by the law. Short. You'll always be discouraged. You'll always be down on yourself because you just can't quite hit the mark. Never enough. You may have seen this in the Bible, but you might want to revisit it. It's in 1 Timothy, I believe it's 6 and 7. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 and 7. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Amen? There's a difference between contentment and complacency. Complacency means that you're just not doing anything. You're just not making a decision. You're just not making a move. You're complacent. You're lazy. You're straddling the fence. You're hot and cold. You're wishy-washy. But contentment means that you're satisfied. And I know the world tells you never to be satisfied, but I will say this to you today. What's wrong with being satisfied? What's wrong with being satisfied? I don't know about you, but when I'm satisfied, I have peace. I have joy. I have every, you know, when I'm satisfied. You know how you, you know, you're hungry, so you eat, and you eat just enough that you're satisfied. But you know, for us, it's never enough, so we got to eat a little more because it's there, right? It shouldn't, and then we start again. We want to make excuses. It shouldn't go to waste. You know, we can't let it go to waste, so we eat more, right? But we were content 5 minutes ago. You were good. If you would have left it right there, you could enjoy the rest of your night. You're content. You're satisfied. But because it was there, you ate more, and now you're full, and now you don't feel good, and now you got agita, and now you got a stomach, and now you can't sleep well because it wasn't enough. Right? What's wrong with being satisfied? What's wrong with being content? I had a young person, a teenager, talk to me the other day, and he's telling me about how I want to get a good job, I want to make lots of money, and I want to do this. And he says to me, he says, is $50,000 a lot of money? I said, it is until you make it. Right? Right? Yeah, it's a lot of money until you make it. And then when you make it, you want to make $60,000. And then you want to make $80,000. Then you want to make six figures. And then you want to do this. You're never satisfied. Amen? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be all we can be and we shouldn't go for what we can do. And I'm not saying you shouldn't use what the Lord has given you. But if you're always striving and never enjoying, you know, enjoy where you are. You know what I mean? Like, be, you know, when you started out making 30, be content there. Thank God for the 30. Amen? Do what you can with the 30. Man, I'm telling you, those of you that have ever had to live with little know how far you can stretch it when you have to, when you have to. Right? Right? Be content where you are. It doesn't mean you're complacent. Just be sad. Thank God that here I am and I'm doing all I can with what I have and I'm satisfied. I'm thankful. Amen? And then when he brings you higher and you're making 50, whatever it is, be thankful right there. Don't, you know, enjoy the journey. We don't take time to enjoy where we're at in life because we're always striving for more because it's never enough. That's why so many people are addicted to so many different things, because it's not enough. You say everything in moderation. Moderation doesn't work for a lot of people. Amen? They can't have one drink. They got to have 5 and 6 and 7 and 10. They can't have one. You know, it's just, you know, you just, it's never enough. It's never enough. And what happens is you spend your whole life striving, fighting, struggling, trying to do more. And next thing you know, you're old. And then you think back and I'm like, I'm tired, right? Enjoy the journey. Enjoy it. Take time to you know, someone who's content is in a good place. Amen? Think about the times in your life when you were good. You were content. Amen? It doesn't mean that you don't want to be your best you. It doesn't mean that you don't want to, you know, always strive to do better and always, you know, learn and different. That's fine. But while you're doing that, be content and be thankful where you are. Because I'm telling you right now, you don't realize it, but the enemy, the devil, is killing you with this not enough mentality. He's killing you. And you don't even think it's him. You're looking for him in other places. And he's the one who's got you discouraged. Because you're thinking, I'm not enough. This isn't enough. Everything's not enough. When is it going to be enough? Tell me that. When is it going to be enough? What's the limit? How much money do you got to have to be enough? How many compliments do you have to get to be enough? Huh? When's it going to be enough? Tell me when it's going to be hit. We hit that and then we want to go more, right? We're not satisfied. And I'm telling you right now, God's not pleased with us not being satisfied. Amen? And you can justify it all you want. I'm striving to be the best me. I'm striving to do. Yeah, well, how about enjoying where you are right now? Amen. While you're striving. Amen? Go ahead. Do what you want to do. But whenever it starts with you, it'll never be enough. They looked at the crowd. They looked at what they have. And immediately they thought, we don't have enough. When they had Jesus right next to them. The one who said he would supply all of your needs. Who has a cattle on 1,000 hills. You got the way maker right next to you. You got the bread of life right next to you. And you're thinking about yourself and what you have. And you say, I don't have enough. No, you don't. But he does. Jesus is more than enough. Jesus has more than enough. Stop going to bed defeated every night. Stop going to bed without any peace every night. Stop going to bed without any joy every night, thinking that your life is a mess. No, you've got more than enough with Jesus. If you got Jesus in your life, you got everything you need. He said he would give you, he would give you all your needs pertaining to life and godliness. He's got you. Stop thinking you're not enough or you don't have enough. You're more than enough. Stop letting others dictate to you your worth and know your worth in Jesus. You are more than enough. You have more than enough. You have Jesus. He's all you need. If he wants you to make 6 figures, he'll make a way for you to make 6 figures. If he wants you to be blessed at 30,000, he'll bless you at 30,000. If he wants to bless you at 20,000, he'll do that. You'll have a smile on your face and you'll have everything you need. I know poor people that are happier than rich people. Because rich people feel like they never have enough and poor people are thankful for what they got. Amen? Contentment. Contentment. The Bible says it's great, not just gain, it's great gain. Contentment. From the beginning, they had everything they needed, but it wasn't enough. And the same goes for us today. It's never enough. I want this, I want this, I want this. And then you get it, and it's like, okay. I got this. Now I want this. I want this. I want this. I want this. And you get it. Okay. Okay. When's it going to stop? When's it going to stop? I got to have this. I got to have this. I got it. And then you get it. It's like, okay, that's great. I love it. I got to have this. It just keeps going out. The enemy just keeps throwing the carrot farther out there and you keep chasing it. You keep chasing it. And all the while, you're tired, you're worn out, and you're getting older by the second. And you're not taking any time to enjoy the life that God has given you, a life not without challenge, not without trouble, but a life of joy and peace and overcome and victory in Jesus. We just sang the song, "Victory is mine." Do you mean it? Or you just like the song. Jesus put it in my heart so clear this week, and he wants you to walk away from this church today thinking about, is that me, Lord? Am I always feeling like I'm not enough, or I don't have enough, or, Lord, forgive me for not being thankful for what I have? Because that's what happens. We don't even take time to thank God for what we have because we're too busy chasing something else. If you got a small house and you want a bigger, you know, something bigger because your, you know, your family justifies it, that's okay, but enjoy and be thankful for the apartment that you have right now. Keep it clean. Make it like the, you know, make it the best place you can make it, like you had a mansion. See, that's what God does. He gives you things. He wants to see how you're gonna treat it, what kind of a steward you're gonna be over it. And if you do good with that, then he'll give you something else. Amen? But when we're not thankful for what we have, when we don't even take care of what we have right now, why would he give you something better? Want me to give you 20 so you can waste that? No. Do something with the 5. If you do good with that, I'll give you more. Think about it. Contentment is great gain. It's great gain. It's okay to be satisfied. What did he tell you? He said, you know, we always say it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? And we say that, but we all love to receive, right? Truth be told, we all love to receive. Amen? Because we were selfishness and that type of stuff, that was born into us just like sin was. All right? But it says, give and it shall be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and then what? Running over, right? Do you realize when God gives to us, he gives us more than enough? Stop saying you don't have enough. With God, you have more than enough. He gives you more than enough. You know why? Not so you can say you got more than enough, so that you can share it with somebody else. You don't have. How can you share with somebody else when you're walking around talking about you don't have enough? I'm sorry, I'd like to help you today, but I got my own problems. Right? I got my own problems. I can't pray for you today. I need prayer myself. Huh? That's me telling you I don't have enough for you. I barely got enough for myself. But God doesn't work that way. He pressed down, shaken together, out of the windows. It'll be flowing for you. That's how he does. It's always an uneven exchange with God. He always gives you way more than you give him. Way more. Yet you're believing, you know, we got the devil making us believe that we don't have enough, that we need more. This society right now is all about more. More. Half of you women in here, and I'm sorry, you know, but woke up this morning and said, I don't have nothing to wear for church. And you got a closet full of, huh? What you should say is you don't know what you want to wear for church. Amen. Or I may not have nothing new to wear for church, but don't say you don't have nothing to wear for church. Amen. When you got a closet full of clothes, right? Right? It's all about more, isn't it? I need more. I need something new. You can't fit another dress, another shirt, anything in your, you can't fit it. Get rid of what you got if you want to get some more. We talk about we don't have enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have. You go to your house, you got stuff upon stuff in your house. If it takes you 5 days to move, because you got so much stuff. Don't tell me you don't have enough. It may not be what you want anymore, but you got stuff. If you don't want it anymore, give it to somebody else that they can enjoy. Or sell it or do whatever you got to do, but don't talk about you don't have enough. You got more than you need. The devil's got us discouraged. He's got us defeated. He's got us all kinds of things because we're just where we are. And God is saying to us today that wherever you are, wherever you find yourself today, the Bible talks about, I've learned how to do okay when I was going bad. I've learned how to do okay when things were good. I've learned that. Amen? We need to learn that. We need to learn how to be content and how to be thankful and how to be satisfied with where we're at. If we're supposed to be farther, if we're supposed to, he will make a way for that to happen, but only if you're thankful and content with where you're at. A lot of us are stuck where we are because we've been complaining so much about what we don't have. And God's saying, I've given you everything I got. He has to keep reminding us that he gave us his only begotten son. He keeps reminding, we got to be reminded about all the things that God has given us. He's given us everything he has. You have more than enough. Stop complaining. Stop crying yourself to sleep because you want this and you can't have it. Be thankful with what you have. If you're supposed to have it, he'll make a way for you to get it. And guess what? Some things we think we want or some things we think we gotta have, we're not meant to have. That's why we don't have it. God knows better than you. What you think you, what he knows what you need. You know what you want. God many times saves us from ourselves because if we got some of the things we asked for, we'd have made a mess of it. We'd have made a mess of it. But God knows us better than we know ourselves, so he knows, okay, I hear you. I hear you praying to me for that, but I ain't giving you that because if I give you that, you're going to make a mess of it. I'm going to help you out. Amen? So today, let us leave here pondering the thought of not enough. Because the fact of the matter is, we have more than enough. We have more than enough. And stop, it's not enough for things that cause us to feel and think that we're not enough or we don't have enough is when we compare ourselves to others. Right? I look at you and you're driving this or you're doing or you have this and I say, oh, I don't have that. I wish I had that. Now I'm discouraged because I'm comparing myself to you. God don't want, he wants us to have blinders on it and run our race and be thankful for what we have. Yes. Yes. Amen? Yes. Praise God you got what you got. God bless you. But I got to run my race. Amen. Stop comparing yourself to others. That's what gets us into trouble. That's what gets us discouraged and gets us disheartened and feel like it's not happening quick enough for us, or why don't I have this, or why don't I have that? We get into those conversations. Stop comparing yourself to others. He's got a specific race for you to run. He's got specific things for you to do. He's got a plan laid out for you. He gave his life for you already. He's got a plan for you. It's got an expected end. You just need to run it and be thankful while you're running it. The end is already done. But from here to the end, we got some work to do. And all it is allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, and direct us. He'll show us what he wants us to do. But run your race. Don't be envious of what somebody else has. God bless them. Be thankful for it. Be happy for them. Be content with where you are. Because God made you special. He created you, and he's got things for you to do that nobody else can do but you. See, sometimes we miss out on opportunities to be a blessing to somebody else because we're too busy complaining about our own situation. And thinking about what I don't have and what not, you know, this, you know, all that and the other. When God's got a, hey, that one right over there needs an encouraging word. He needs a smile. He needs you to just tell him it's going to be all right. We missed it. I need this. I want that. Look at them. Why don't I know they're not living right, and you gave them that, and I'm doing all I can, and you won't give me. No, that's the enemy. That's the devil lying to you. You have everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. That's enough. It's enough. Jesus is enough. Amen. Let us stand. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, and for your many blessings. And Lord, I know that you don't do anything just by happenstance. Everything is in divine order with you, and I know there's a reason. If not only for me, that you brought this thought to me this week to share with others, Lord, that it's a lie from the pits of hell that we don't have enough, because we have more than enough in you. Forgive us, Lord, for the way we've been thinking. Forgive us with the way we've been looking at things, Lord. Forgive us of our perception of things, Lord. Forgive us for being swayed by the enemy, Lord, and help us to keep our minds stayed on you, that you might give us perfect peace. And in the same way that you are more than enough for us, you always give us more than enough. You not only give us peace, but you give us peace that passes all understanding. You not only give us joy, but you give us joy unspeakable. Whenever you give to us, it's always not even just enough. It's always more than enough. So, Lord, help us with our thoughts, with our mindset. Help us to have an attitude of gratitude. Help us to be thankful for what we have, to be thankful and content with where we are. Help us to enjoy each phase of our lives. Help us, we miss so much, Lord, because we don't take time to stop and enjoy where we're at right now. Help us to enjoy each phase as you lead us and guide us and direct us through this life that you have given us. Lord, help us to teach the younger ones. Teach them contentment, Lord. Teach them how to be satisfy. Teach them how to enjoy who they are and what they have. Help us. I don't think we teach it enough, Lord. I help us to teach contentment because it's great gain. Lord, we would get much better sleep if we were more content. We would feel better about our situations if we were more thankful. We would be more of a blessing to others if we were concentrating on our own race. Lord, we need your help, Lord. Help us, Lord. We look to you from which cometh our help, Lord. Our help comes from you. Help us to have the right attitude. Help us to have the right attitude about ourselves, our own self-worth, our own things that we bring to the table, Lord. Lord, you dictate our worth, nobody else. Lord, help us to understand and realize that we not only have enough, we have more than enough. We give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them that's enough. Amen. Amen.